This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. It's Tuesday, which means we are looking ahead to the tournament action, which is going on across Europe at the moment this week. Three ATP Tour tournaments. We'll come on to the matches in a minute. But I'd like to say joining me is our ATP Tour handicapper. It's Sean Calvert. Good morning, Sean.
How you doing, mate? You all right? Afternoon. Yeah, you threw me a bit there. Wasn't sure what time of day it was, but yeah, it's afternoon. Yeah, I'm all right. Bit of a cold. Woke up today in these freezing British temperatures, and it's... My delicate constitution has given up, I think, as a small cold heading my way. But, I'll soldier on. It's not pleasant conditions here or in Munich. It was hailing here yesterday.
Well, we have hail here this morning. And now as we're speaking, the sun is shining through this window, as you can see here, but the rain is really coming down. And in the distance, I can see lightning and a bit of thunder. So if we go offline for some reason, you know, it's going to be the weather affected here. And the weather's been, you know, we've had tournaments this week, you said about affected by the weather, but touch wood, so far, all three tournaments going along as scheduled. No problems in Barcelona, but no problems in Romania. But Munich, it's going on as we expected.
It's being played now, but the forecast for the next 4 or 5 days looks like solid rain the whole time. How much of it is going to be the issue? If it's only a tiny bit of drizzle, they might be able to play through it. But it doesn't look great, the forecast there, for the rest of the week. As I said, snow is in the forecast there on Thursday, and I think Saturday and Sunday as well. That'll be probably in the nighttime, so you might not see that. But yeah, it's going to be really, really cold. Whatever happens, I can guarantee you it is going to be very cold in Munich. So if you're in Munich and you're thinking of going to the tennis, I'd pack some extra jumpers and a potentially raincoat of some description.
We're talking about clothing. Look at this. We're modeling the new Bet Rivers tops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. You can't really see that. Yeah. Not great for podcast listeners, this, but yeah.
Quite snazzy.
Very nice they are as well, aren't they?
Yeah, very nice. Very, very, very snazzy. All the handicappers have been sent them out, so we'll see who actually wears them on the shows. We'll wait and see what goes on there. But rather snazzy, the new Bet Rivers T-shirts there. Mine is the same colour, but it's the difference of the light coming in here. So the light comes on this side, and this side's a bit more shady. So where the computer's position is not really good for lighting. Anyway, enough about the fashion. We don't need any fashion tips for sure. We've had the... Tips already all over across Europe and across the world. We wear the because we win branded clothing. But we have four matches tomorrow. We're going to discuss, and all of them, you know, despite being three tournaments going on, all of them in Bucharest in the 250 event. It's the Tyriac Open. Before we come on to the matches, Sean, what's the takeout so far? What are the conditions? What have you seen after the first couple of days' matches?
Yeah, it's difficult because the weather keeps changing on the clay. It, you know, the conditions will change. Depending on the weather, it was pretty warm in Bucharest today, yesterday, but Wednesday there's quite a lot of rain due, but it might be after players finish and overnight, so it might not affect the playing conditions too much tomorrow. But it is going to get a lot cooler, 21 degrees, not a lot of wind around. So if the rain does miss the area or miss the time slot of the matches, then it should be, you know, the playing conditions should be reasonably all right in Bucharest. I was just watching the Wawrinka match. We had him, didn't we, to win the first set?
Yeah, he did.
Against Portugues, which he did happily. No, he made it look quite quick, but there again, he's a very, very powerful player. You know, other players have made it look not so quick, but it looks a little bit lively for a clay court, I would say. Certainly wouldn't call it slow conditions, although it may get slower in the coming day, depending on whether this rain hits or not.
Yeah, we've got four matches in Bucharest we're going to speak about. Some decent prices available. Not so many markets available just yet with Bet Rivers, but as the day progresses, there will be more added. I reckon by the time these players take to the court, you'll be looking at about 31 different markets available. But money lines, total games, and the handicap or the spread is what we are concentrating on today. Let's look at the first match we're going to speak about. It's Tabilo up against Rinkanich. Tabilo, number four seed, hasn't played yet in the tournament. The last match he played was in Monte Carlo. He got beat by Casper Ruud in straight sets. Rinderknecht comes through a marathon match yesterday against Gaston. We touched on the match. Why Bet Rivers were 24.5 on the total. So they knew something that we didn't know, because it cashed very easily for over bettors there. The prices here, Tabilo is -182. He's the number four seed here. Rinderknecht is +140. The spread is 2.5, -125 for Tabilo, -110 for Rinderknecht receiving 2.5. And the total here, lower, three games lower than the first match for Rinderknecht, is 21.5. Over is -150, under is +110. These two players have never met each other before. Tabilo's got a slightly better clay court record, 5-4 in 2024, and Rinderknecht is 2-2. But he has come in with a win here under his belt against Gaston. The positive side of it is he's got a win under his belt in those conditions in Bucharest. The downside is that it was a long, very long match.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is about Rinderknecht and his weakness against lefties. You know, he just about scraped it past Gaston. I think it was 7-5 in the third, wasn't it? But he only won 30% of return points that day, Rinderknecht, against what is a very weak server in Gaston. That's what I highlighted the other day. He doesn't break serve often enough against lefties. Gaston won 81% of his first serve points against Rinderknecht. Gaston shouldn't be winning 81% of points on clay against anybody, really. Tabilo's a much stronger server, also left-hander, obviously. Rinderknecht against left-handers in his last 10 matches at main level has only won 32% of return points. Break serve only 11.9% of the time. So it's a tricky one for Rinderknecht. Last 12 months on clay at main level, Tabilo, much better record, 103 service points won and return points won total, and a 107 hold and break total. Rinderknecht, 101 and 103. It's just Rinderknecht doesn't win enough return points against lefties, only breaks, doesn't break serve often enough. Tabilo's been serving really well this year. The lines have changed since I looked at this. I was looking at -2.5 games around about 1.88, but I think the odds have changed a little bit on this one now.
Yeah, -2.5 is now -125. So it's coming a little bit.
Yeah, it's where I'd be heading on that one if I was having a bet in this one.
So a small lean for Tabilo to win -2.5 games. It's -125. Rinderknecht does struggle against lefties. Tabilo may capitalise. And obviously the fact that Rinderknecht has played a long match prior to this match isn't a positive for Rinderknecht bettors. So leaning towards Tabilo, the number four seed, that's going to the favourite there as far as we're concerned. No official play, but -182. Head across to the BetRivers website. There'll be a whole host of markets when these two players take to the court. And they're scheduled to take to court nice and early tomorrow. It's 5 a.m. starts. Remember, if you bet live with BetRivers, you'll be able to watch live as well. You'll be able to watch the match early morning before you head to work on your tablet or your mobile device, whichever one you want to watch the match on. The next match is of interest to me, actually. I was quite surprised by the odds what I saw here. Sabath Wield is -139 against Navone. Navone is +110. The spread here is 1.5. -120 for Sabath Wield, giving up 1.5. Navone +1.5 is +120. The total again is 21.5 with over -150 and under -110. They've met three times previously, all at the same event, the Buenos Aires Challenger. Two wins to Navone in 2021 and 2022. And the Sabath Wield won their last match in 2023 very easily, 6-2, 6-3. And for that match, he started a -$3 favourite. Not quite sure why, but we'll come on to that in a second. Sabath Wield, I actually bet against Sabath Wield in the last round, and I was talking to you about how unlucky I was just there.
That is...
I bet Nardi yesterday.
How unlucky is that?
Yeah, five match points, and then he gets injured, and then Sabath Wield gets over the line. That was my first bet of the day yesterday, and my day didn't get any better as the day went on, and I had about three or four similar, not so bad as that, but I bet Krejcikova in the women's tennis, she had match points, she should have won it easy, and she lost in a final set tiebreak as well. It was just a nightmare day yesterday. But he came through against Nardi, very luckily, but Navone was very impressive against Calderi. I was quite surprised that Navone was +110 here, considering he's 15 places higher in the world rankings than his opponent, and he's got a really good record on clay, 16-6 this year. I know it's probably at a lower level, but it is at a lower level. But semi-finalist in Marrakesh, beaten by Berrettini in a tight match, in form, I thought +110 looked a little bit wrong to me.
I think it looks very wrong. I mean, you've just said about Sabath, lucky to win against Nardi, as you said, five match points, then rolled his ankle. You know, how's your luck? You know, Navone's result was perhaps a little bit flattering as well, because Darderi, who he played, had a wrist injury and later on pulled out the doubles because of that reason. So a little bit flattering, perhaps, for Navoni, but he did play well. So you can only beat what's in front of him, and he did it very well. I feel like this matchup, Sabothwild's got to, I feel like he's got to play a very clean match to beat the counterpuncher Navone in these sort of conditions. You know, Navone gets a lot of balls back. He's going to frustrate Saboth. Saboth likes to get on the front foot. He likes to use his power. He likes to attack. And when it's going well, when it's clicking, you know, he looks great, but it doesn't always click that often. The head-to-head heavily favours Navone. I know they were all played coincidentally and quite peculiarly. All three matches were played at the Buenos Aires Challenger. So you might argue Navone's had a bit of a boost there in terms of, you know, he knows the conditions a bit better. But even so, the service points won, the return points won tells. Navone 106, Sabothwild 94. So pretty overwhelming for Navone in terms of the head-to-head so far. Looking slightly deeper into that head-to-head, Sabothwild's only held serve 61% of the time in those three matches. And Navone's won 45% of return points. So he's really got a read on the Sabothwild serve, and he's breaking a lot of the time, as he does generally on clay at main level these days. Look at the last 12 months on clay at main level. Sabothwild, 50% win rate. Navone, 67% win rate. This is all main level stuff. Service points won, and return points won totals. Sabothwild, 99. Navone, 103. If you want to look at the service hold and break totals, also heavily favours Navone, even more so, in fact. Sabothwild on 98, Navone on 106. So, and as I just touched on there, the return points. Navone's won 44% of return points in the 12 main level matches he's played on clay in the last 12 months. Most of those were this year, very, very recently, in fact. So the head-to-head favours Navone. The recent clay stats favour Navone. So Navone, for me, I mean, looks like the wrong favourite to me if on these stats. And on the matchup, as I said, if Sabothwild is going to win this match, he's going to have to play a clean one. And I don't like the odds on him doing that. Odds on him playing a clean match and wiping Navone out. That's not for me. So plus money, plus 110 at BetRivers. Navone, yeah. Official play for me.
I like that. The only reason I was slightly put off with it was because that Sabothwild started minus 300 in their last match. And I thought, why was he minus 300 in their last match? I thought... You know,
well, it was a while ago. You know, Navone's broken through now at this level, whereas he hadn't then. And he's got the statistics to show that he's a more than capable performer, impressive performer at this level. I know most of those matches were played in South America, but even so, I still feel like it's a value price.
Yeah. I was so lucky yesterday. I couldn't believe it when I was watching that match.
Five match points. You don't often get a 5 match point. I've had a couple of 5 match point losers before, but they're few and far between.
I think Kajika ran about 3 match points as well last night as well. It was just one of them days. I had a good obviously Sunday. I bet Aston Villa to beat Arsenal, and I did all right. But I give half of it back, and I bet Tsitsipas to win the tournament as well. We got a bit told off by. I don't know if you saw the comment. Someone actually said on Twitter, "Oh, you didn't tip Tsitsipas up." Now listen, I'm going to sort of address that for you now. We are a show sponsored by BetRivers Sportsbook, and we give bets on the advice of BetRivers Sportsbook on here. BetRivers for that Tsitsipas match, so that all tournament match, were half the odds that was available elsewhere. So we can't pick them with BetRivers because we think the 16-1, they're very shrewd to be the best price, but sometimes we think there's value in their prices and we have a bet. Sometimes we don't. But it doesn't stop myself for sure betting with other sportsbooks, and that's exactly what we did. So if you follow the Instagram account, you would have seen that we were very keen on Tsitsipas on every single one of his matches. And I stated on it that he was the takeout and he was probably the bet to win the tournament. And, you know, if you look around, we're not going to put Tsitsipas in our figures here. Our figures still show minus 650.
Yep.
So, yeah, we do have bets other than what we suggest here because prices come out. And we do talk about our betting strategy. But every bet that we mention on this show will be on the figures. And we're not trying to hide figures. And we're not trying to discourage anyone. If you think the one thing we pride ourselves is in our honesty and our figures at the bottom, whether we win or whether we lose, whatever sport we do here on Because We Win, and of course the Bet Team Weekly Studios, we keep our records real. So we did both have a small bet on Tsitsipas to win the tournament. You would have followed it if you followed the Instagram account. But unfortunately, on that Sunday when we gave the picks, we couldn't bet him at the price that Bet Rivers very shrewdly had. So that's not, nothing about it, isn't it? It's pretty true, though, isn't it? Sure, it's exactly true.
Exactly, yeah. If I had put him up at 16-1, which was the price that BetRivers offered, then that wouldn't have been value. So I'd have been disingenuous, wouldn't I, by putting that up at 16-1, having backed it at 33-1 elsewhere. I can't say, you know, to myself, oh, I'll have that at 33-1 and then say, oh, I'll have it at 16-1 as well. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
But it works.
We did talk about him in that preview. I did say, didn't I? I said Tsitsipas. Sorry, mate. I said Tsitsipas has got a very good chance at the bottom half of the draw. But the reason I couldn't put him up was because the price was not valid.
And over a season, Bet Rivers will be the best price in some things, and we'll bet them. Other times, we might have a decide to have a bet, but might not have the pick it on this show because it just they're right in their assumption of making that person a better price or a worse price than the market price. So, you know, the one thing I will say, and I'll just will be draw a line on it. Whatever we'd said on this show, if we're saying we bet them, they will not be on the figures. The figures are the official bets that were mentioned on this show. And last week, Tsitsipas was a bet that myself and Sean had, but it was an official bet on this show because Bet Rivers very cleverly and very shrewdly had him half the price from the rest of the market industry. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Berere against Kokkinakis. This interests me, actually, is because there's been some money for Berere in the last couple of hours or so. There's only been one meeting before, which was completed, and Kokkinakis won it and Saint-Tropez on a challenger event back in 2021. But Kokkinakis comes in here in some really good form, actually. He won the Sarasota Challenger on clay. Berere is now -114. Kokkinakis is still holding on to favouritism just with Bet Rivers at -109. But I expect that to flip in the next few hours or so. The handicap is 1.5, but it's pretty much irrelevant because the money line is so solid. And the total games, the total is 22.5 with over -127, under +100. Berere has come through qualifying. He played two matches in qualification, looked quite impressive, hasn't dropped the set. And Kokkinakis is obviously flying across from Sarasota to be here in Bucharest, and this will be his first match. But he is coming fresh after a decent win on the clay.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a theory here, and it's one that I think a lot of people are going to pick up on, and that's why the money line is moving. And the theory is that we might see a less than committed effort from Kokkinakis in this match. The reason being is that he secured his main draw spot at the French Open by winning that Sarasota Challenger on Sunday. And that was his aim. Now, you might see him relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, and I'm going to quote him here after that Sarasota Challenger win. He said, "This is my springboard to the French Open. I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel any pressure out there. That made it tough, but I just kept fighting. I knew what was at stake." And just in case people don't know, that the cutoff for the draw of majors is, I think it's 42 days before the first Monday of the tournament, in this case, the French Open. So you have to go back 42 days, which was, I think, either Sunday or Monday, either yesterday or, it must have been yesterday, Monday. So that was the cutoff. So the first, however many it is, 100 or, I think it's 100, isn't it? Roughly 100 players that are in the rankings, the top 100 on that day, qualify. So that's how Kokkinakis has got his place in the French Open already so soon. I know there's several weeks of matches still to go, but the cutoff has been done. So he's now qualified. He's also travelled, as about to travel or has travelled, 12 hours at least. It's a 12.5-hour flight from Miami, presumably flew from Miami to Bucharest. That's not an insignificant distance. And he's got to play on very, very different clay, Bucharest, to the American clay that he was playing on in Sarasota. Very, very different conditions. Long flight, not much time to adapt. And he's qualified for the French Open. So from that side of things, I can see why people are backing Berere. I can understand it. I get it. And I think it's a reasonable play. It's certainly my lean in this match to take Berere on the money line. The advantage Berere's got as well as all that is the fact that he's already been here for a while, qualified with a couple of decent wins. One very decent win over Luca Puy, who's been playing quite well recently. He's obviously going to be the one far more attuned to conditions. The head-to-head is just one match, and Kokkinakis won it, but very unlucky, Berere. Berere won one more point overall in that match. He won more points on his first serve, more points on his second serve, but similarly to Zhang today, he was poor on the big points. Kokkinakis took 4 of his 6 break point chances that day, Berere 3 of 12. So the big points let Berere down that day. Could have been a worthy winner on another day. Say, well, one more point in the match. So their all-time record on clay, by the way, at main level, there's nothing in that either. Both have got pretty mediocre records on clay. Service points, one and return points, one titles, and 97 each. Now, if you look at what Kokkinakis has done on clay at main level, most of the matches he's played, I've been at the French Open. He's only played in his entire career, he's played 5 ATP World Tour matches on clay at main level. And 3 of those were at altitude in Geneva, where his style of play would be much more suited. The other 2 matches at sea level, he lost. So there's a lot of, I can see why the money's coming for Barrère. I understand it. And that would be my lean here. It's quite likely we'll see a bit of a letdown from Kokkinakis.
You've talked me into a bet there. Surely on what you just said there.
It's a theory.
Only a lean?
It's a theory. It's a theory. It could be completely wrong. He might be absolutely buzzing after winning that Sarasota title, and he's slept like a baby all the way through, and he's going to rip through this. But, you know, there are enough reasons to kind of... The problem is Barrère. He's talking about retirement recently. He's in one. He's in a bit of a funk. He obviously can't qualify for the French Open now. His ranking's too low. He's going to have to either get a wild card, which... he may do. I doubt it, but he might. Always got to go through qualies. So, yeah, he was on about retiring if results didn't pick up. But players do this. Mikel Lima today, he retired, didn't he, after he got banned for doping, wasn't it?
Mm.
He got doping banned. Now, all of a sudden, after he's done nothing for 6 months, he's bored, and he wants to come back after his ban finishes. So, you know, players change their mind. Players get unhappy when they're losing, and they say, oh, I've had enough of this, I want to retire. You know, Barrère's not been in... He's been in poor form all season, let's be honest, but he's got an opportunity here.
You talked me into a bet. Regardless if it's not going down on the record, and I'm sorry if I'm going to bet someone else, but it's not going on the record. Yeah, I'm going to bet it, definitely. I think the case you've made there, Kokkinakis has set his target to make the French Open for the clay court season. He's done it. I can see him easing up here. Conditions won't suit. Get back into Europe. So familiarise yourself with the clay. And this tour, just, you know, get out there, have a bit of practice and see how you go. But I think, especially if Barrère does a break up, I can't see Kokkinakis trying at all for this match. So I really like that. And I think that the market move here is significant as well. And also, I believe that he will probably start a heavier favourite than what he is at the moment. Barrère is minus 114. So I think that move will be considerable over the next few hours or so. Remember, that match there is also 5 a.m. start tomorrow. I didn't say Seth Bath Wild against Navona tomorrow is 11 a.m. Eastern time as well. So very early start, 5 a.m. If you think that the theory that Sean has put there on Barrère is value, you want to get across to Bet Rivers now and take that minus 114, because I don't think it will last. I certainly will be doing so. The final match we're going to concentrate on is an all-Argentinian affair between the number one seed Francesco Cerundolo against Federico Courier. Cerundolo is a heavy favourite here, minus 195. Courier is plus 150. The spread is 3.5. Cerundolo minus 110, giving up the 3.5. Courier minus 125, receiving the 3.5. The total looks a little bit low for me, 20.5, minus 162 for over, plus 120 for overs. Overs minus 160, under is my plus 120. These two have met many, many times, 9 times, in fact, and every single one of them is in play, and it's 6-3 to Courier. But Cerundolo won their last match last year in Bastard, 6-3, 6-3. And he also, Courier won 6-3, 3-love, because Cerundolo had to retire midway through the second set. And he also had to retire in the 2021 Challenger as well. So those stats are probably a little bit misleading. It should be 4-3 on completed matches. Cerundolo, long trip back from... Monte Carlo, he played Kachanov in Miami, then he played him again in Monte Carlo, couldn't get over the line in both those matches, hasn't been playing very well, lost 3 of his last 4. And Courier, I watched the Courier match in Estoril against Van der Sanchez. How Van der Sanchez won that match, I'll never know, but he did. He was carrying my money as well, Courier, and I promise never to bet him again. So hopefully you're not making a case for Courier.
I'm going to make a case for Courier.
I'd rather bet Jim Courier.
I'm not sure he's still playing. He might have a chance if he's still playing. He was decent on clay, wasn't he? Very decent.
Yeah.
Classic matchup, this, obviously, of the powerful shot maker Cerundolo against the gritty counterpuncher in Courier, similar to the Navoni and Saboth Wild kind of matchup, really. But the big hitter's got to play a clean match to win. Courier's not going to give you a single thing on a clay court. The head-to-head, as you said, it does favour Courier. A couple of them, as you said, were retirements. But over the course of the 9 matches, I know some of those were a few years ago, but Courier does lead 104 to 96 in the service points won and return points won totals. Corrie has won 45% of return points in this matchup. Again, similar to Navone against Saboth Wild. And Serendola has only held serve 64% of the time. Corrie, with his weak serve, has held serve 72% of the time in this matchup. Second serve points favours Corrie as well. 55% of second serve points he's won in this matchup. Serendola, 47%. The only thing that Serendola kind of leads the way on, if you like, in terms of stats, are the last 12 months as a whole at main level on the clay. Better win rate, 59% compared to 52. And his service points won and return points won total is 103 compared to 100 for Corrie. So he leads on that. However, if we just look at this current season, 2024, on clay at main level, it's the other way. Corrie has got 102 total, Serendola 99. He hasn't found his best tennis so far this season. So I definitely couldn't back Serendola at that price. If I was betting in this one, I'd be tempted to put a bet on Corrie and then just not watch the match, because it'll be horrible. It'll be a ton of breaks, I should imagine. Desperate for Corrie to hold on. He's not the kind of guy who wants serving a set out, is he? But yeah, Corrie for me here, plus 150, wasn't he? Bet Rivers earlier on when I saw.
Plus 150 still available, minus 195. It does lead that head-to-head 6-3, but obviously in completed matches, it's 4-3. If you want to get a little bit more safe, you can bet Corrie a plus 3.5 at minus 125. But we sort of not really like to place those kind of bets, because in clay court tennis, you get a lot of 6-love, 6-1s, and this kind of match looks like it could be a complete blowout by either player at any stage.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at their 9 matches, I've just got them on my screen here. I know 2 of them retirements, but only one's gone to a third set. All the others have gone to straight sets. So, yeah, the Corrie on the handicap is a recipe for disaster, isn't it? He could win the match and you could lose the handicap because he's dropped a set 6-1 or 6-2, and he's edged the others. Yeah, that's happened to me before when he's, won the match, lost the handicap, and you've bet the handicap. That's quite an annoying feeling, isn't it? So I would just take Corrie here if I was having a go on this one, but I think the Navone bet is the one, the bet of the day for me.
Yeah, so there are a few leans. Some lean stronger than the others, but we're leaning towards Tabilo to win fairly easily against Rinderknecht at 5 a.m. in the morning. And the other 5 a.m. start, Berre to beat Kokkinakis. The line is starting to move for the Frenchman there, so head across the Bet Rivers early to get the price there, currently minus 114. 8:30 a.m. is the time for Serendula and Corrie, and we're leaning towards Corrie plus 150 to extend his head-to-head record. And our official pick, 11 a.m. Eastern time, is Navone at plus 110 to beat Saboth Wild, who must be the luckiest man in Bucharest this week after he was saved 5 match points and his opponent got injured in the tiebreak to get him through to face the Argentinian in round number 2. So that's the bets. That's the leans. Remember, there's loads of action you can follow here on Betting Weekly Studios. You can follow the YouTube show or subscribe to the YouTube show. You get all the tennis action with myself and Sean on the AP Tour, Roy Giovanni on the WTA, as well as some huge soccer content as well. It's a huge week of Champions League, Europa League and Europa Conference League quarterfinals, second leg. Some big, big matches tomorrow. Manchester City play Real Madrid. Bayern Munich play Arsenal. We have you covered on the show there. We're going to show live now. You also download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, your preferred podcast provider. And also, obviously, follow us on our socials at Instagram and on Twitter at Because We Win. And on that Instagram account, you will see picks on days and suggestions, live in play, stuff that isn't on this show. So if you're only watching this show and thinking they're the only picks the guys are having, that's not the case. On the Instagram page, there's lots more content, lots of live stuff, lots of in-play stuff, at-venue stuff, where we're saying this guy could be a bet or this guy could be a bet to win the tournament, or maybe even looking ahead to the French Open and other slams as well. So make sure you follow that as well and be across everything that we're offering here, the team of handicappers at Because We Win. Sean, have a good day. Hopefully it doesn't rain too heavy.
Thank you.
Did you hear the thunderbolts? Did you hear the light, the thunder out there?
No, I didn't.
It wasn't my tummy rumbling, if you heard it. It was the thunder and lightning coming through the windows. Anyway, have a good day, and we will be back tomorrow with more picks. Remember, there's 3 tournaments this week, not only in Bucharest. We have a tournament in Munich in the freezing cold, and in rather pleasant conditions in Barcelona, and we will have you covered on all those 3 events. We'll be back tomorrow to give you more best bets on the ATP Tour. Have a good day. Speak to you again tomorrow.